have your word or you have your eyes glued to the screen. And as I was studying this, God gave me this message very, very fast. And he was letting me know, he said, sometimes a lot of power comes in small packages. A lot of power comes in small packages. And I'm only going to read five. We're only going to look at five to six verses today. If you'd be so kind to turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We're actually going through Luke in Sunday school class. So I'm just very thankful. Last time I was here, we talked about the compassion of God, God's compassion. And how many of us need compassion? And in keeping in the same vein of the compassion of Christ, the title of my message today is When Jesus Meets Us in Our Darkest Hour. Okay? I want that to resonate a little bit, so I'm going to repeat that. When Jesus meets us in our darkest hour. Notice I didn't say when we meet him, but when he meets us. And the reason I wrote it that way is because sometimes we're not looking for Jesus in our darkest hour. Can I get one amen? Sometimes we look into the bottle because the bottle immediately takes away our pain. Some people look towards weed because getting high, smoking that joint takes their pain away temporarily. Some people look for sex to take that pain away. Amen? Oh, don't get quiet on me now. We just finished singing about I've been changed. And we wouldn't rejoice about being changed unless we were changed from something that was inferior to what we are now. So I'm not talking about right now, but everybody ain't been saved all their life. And some of us had other gods or other idols that we went to for comfort and refuge when we were in our dark hour. But I'm here to tell us today that it's a blessing when Jesus himself comes to meet you in your darkest hour. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 12, and I read this scripture in different versions. I read it in the King James Version, I read it in the New King James Version, the NASB Version, but I really like the way the NLT, which is the New Living Translation, renders it. So if you don't mind, I'm coming from the NLT today, and when you have verse 12, say amen. That says NIV, NLT. NLT. Okay, NLT, it reads, in one of the villages, Jesus met a man. Let the church say man. Now, it's a lot in that word man. Man means mortal. Male, man means with many flaws. How many of us have flaws that makes you human, right? You can't be human if you don't have flaws. So we're going to start the passage off that Jesus, i.e. the Son of God, he meets a man. He meets a person full of flaws. He meets a person who is not strong to save him or herself. Are you with me? He says he met a man with an advance. Let the church say advance. Now, I want us to lock in on this word, because I didn't say when Jesus meets us at a dark hour. I said when Jesus meets us at our darkest hour, meaning that this is dark on steroids. You ever been there? You ever had a bad day? But then have you ever had a really, 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 really bad day? And you would give anything just to have that bad day you had a while ago, because that day doesn't compare with the day you're going through now. You ever been there? Well, keep living. You'll have some days like that. But it's amazing to me that Jesus didn't meet this man until he was in an advanced condition. He had an advanced case of leprosy. Okay, he had an advanced case of leprosy. My first point today, saints, is that Jesus met the man when all of the odds were stacked against him. You ever had all the odds stacked against you? You ever felt like you had all the odds stacked against you? Well, you are qualified in that moment to meet Jesus. When everything breaks loose in your life, when nothing is going right, when all the odds are stacked against you, when everybody has written you off, this is when Jesus shows up. Can I submit that Jesus loves to show up when you have no hope? See, you know why he shows up when there's no hope? Because he is hope. And when he shows up, there's no room for any false hope. Oh, y'all not walking with me. Jesus is the embodiment of hope. He is the embodiment, and he is the living hope. So when you are completely out of hope, he comes up because there's no room to be compared to any other version of what we call so-called hope. He is hope. Here we have a man with leprosy. Now, if you don't know anything about leprosy, leprosy just wasn't a disease. Leprosy, according to the Jews, was a sign of being full of sin. So it had a dual meaning. You were physically sick, but it was a physical representation of a spiritual condition, meaning that you were sin sick. A sin sick soul is a soul who needs a doctor. Jesus is the good doctor. Jesus is the only one that can heal a sin sick soul. So what the priest did, and this goes all the way back to Moses' time in the book of Leviticus, there were certain procedures that the people, Israelites, had to go through when one was afflicted with leprosy. One of the things they had to do was remove them from the camp. So now you have a man who's isolated from family. Now, if you don't know what it's like to not have any family, you don't know what it's like to be sad. When you have no family you can go to, no family you can talk to, he's isolated from his coworkers. You can't work while you're afflicted with leprosy. So now he doesn't have a job. He doesn't have a way to take care of himself. So he's familial destitute, meaning he doesn't have a family. He's financially destitute because he doesn't have a way of making a living. But he's also spiritually destitute, meaning that he does not have a savior. He's at his darkest hour. Now, just to give you a physical description of leprosy, leprosy is a skin condition that it eats away at a person's nerve endings. Okay? Raise your hand if you ever touched a hot stove in your life. What happens when you touch a hot stove? You say, ouch! Praise the Lord. That's what you said when you touched it. That's what you said. Ouch, praise the Lord. It's like when you stub your toe at night on the corner of the bed, you say, praise the Lord, too. I know that's what you say. Tell the truth, shame the devil. But seriously, when you touch a hot stove, you say, ouch. Why do you say ouch? Because your body has been so equipped with nerve endings. You ever had a toothache and when the cold air hit that tooth? Oh, yeah, I'm on the right road now. You ever had that cold air hit that nerve of that cavity or that tooth? It will put you on your knees, won't it? Until you go to the dentist. And the dentist has to give you something to dull your pain. But what he's really giving you is Novocaine. Novocaine is really a dulling anesthetic, a topical anesthetic that's injected into the vein and it numbs the nerve endings. Your tooth is still feeling that same pain, but because the nerve endings have been numbed, you can't feel that drill going in your mouth. How many of y'all love going to the dentist? That's my favorite place to go. I was joking. But what leprosy does, it kills off the nerve endings, and when you get a cut or an infection, you don't know you have it. I'm going somewhere with this. And what happens over time, being that you don't know you have an infection, you have no way of addressing something you don't know you have. So being that you don't know that you have an infection, that infection is going to have carte blanche. Carte blanche is French for it's going to have its way. It's going to have its way with your body and start eating away at your tissue. So what ends up happening is people with leprosy will know to have their fingers fall off. Their nose will fall off. Parts of their ears will fall off. Foot will fall off. Because they wouldn't know that they had damage, catch this, that the damage was so severe until they lost something. When you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you have an infection. And that infection permeates through your family. It permeates through your bloodline. It permeates through your parenthood. It permeates through your career. And then when things start falling off, you don't know what caused it. When your relationship started falling off or falling apart, you don't know what caused it. It could be that you have a spiritual leprosy. This man just didn't have leprosy, saints. He had an advanced stage of it. Now, let me introduce a truth. If you don't get anything from what I preach today, get this. There is nothing too hard for God. We can say amen and go home off of that. Let me say that again. There is nothing too hard for God. You know, I don't think y'all believe that. So we're going to say it together. I want y'all to repeat after me. There is nothing too hard for God. I say it again. There is nothing too hard for God. Now, real quick, think about what you're going through that you look at as impossible and put that in the place of there is. Drug addiction is not too hard for God. Illness is not too hard from God. But it's in the advanced stages. If God is willing, that's the key. If God is willing, even in the advanced stages, he can turn it around. But do you believe? It's the question. You remember that man in Mark chapter 9 whose son was possessed with a devil and Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter and James, I believe, or Peter and John. And when they came down, the disciples tried to cast the demon out of this boy, but the demon was too strong. And the father said, sometimes the demon would throw my son into a flame. Sometimes it would try to drown my son. And Jesus said, how long has the boy been this way? Jesus knew something was wrong with the boy. But Jesus wanted the man to articulate how advanced the situation was. He said, how long has he been this way? How long have you been going through what you've been going through? God is that concerned. God is so concerned. He just don't want to know that you have pain. He wants to know, how long have you been dealing with this? Because when I come through and change this, I'm going to change it. He said he's been this way for quite some time. And Jesus said, come out of this boy. Spirit came out of him. And the disciples were marveled. And they said, how was it? We tried and we did this and nothing happened. How was it that you just spoke to this kid and the demon left the kid? Jesus said these famous words. He said, this type of advanced problem. Oh, y'all not walking with me. He said, this type only comes out through prayer and fasting. there are some advanced situations that all of us are going through. And they require an advanced way of dealing with it. And you can't get more advanced than the Son of God. Second point I want to bring up is that Jesus allowed the man to get brutally honest about his condition. Let me say that again. The first point was Jesus met the man when all odds were stacked against him. But the second point, and it's coming from the same verse, is that Jesus allowed the man to get brutally honest about his condition. Now catch this right here. We're going to see the humility of the man, and we're going to see the power of Christ. Same verse, first verse. It says, in one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. When the man saw Jesus, he did what? He bowed his face to the ground, begging to be healed. Now, look at this word here. He says, Lord. Let the church say Lord. Notice he didn't say teacher. He didn't say rabbi. And he didn't say master. He said Lord. The Hebrew word for Lord is Adonai. Okay? This man called Jesus exactly who he was to him. You're not just a good teacher. You're not just a powerful prophet. You are the Lord God. Catch this. He says, Lord, if you are what? Willing, can you heal me and make me clean? Notice, he just didn't say, can you heal me? Heal was the physical healing. Clean was salvation. Y'all not walking with me. He says, if you are willing, Lord, not if you are willing, teacher. If he was just a teacher to the man with leprosy, he would have said, teacher, if you are willing, can you heal me? But because Jesus is Lord, he says, can you heal me and cleanse me? Can you heal my body and can you cleanse me from my soul sickness? But you can't be cleansed by God if you don't view him as Lord. Did y'all catch that? So everything goes very well together. He says, Lord, if you are willing, can you heal me and make me clean? You know what I like about this gentleman that we can learn from? We are too general in our prayer requests. You know why we're so general with our prayer requests? It's because we're trying to impress people that's overhearing us pray. Y'all not walking with me. We are so afraid of what people might think of us that we deem as spiritual giants that we dilute our prayer requests. Does that make sense? Notice this man wasn't around anybody. You gotta understand, it was against the law for this man to get close to a crowd, all right, because he had leprosy. So Jesus went to him, Jesus met him, and it was a one-on-one conversation. And when you have a one-on-one conversation with God, you need to be explicit and have titular detail when you pray. This is not one of those, Lord, I thank you for food, water, and shelter type prayers. Nothing against that. That's a great prayer. But this is brutally honest prayer. And my question is to us, saints, when was the last time you got brutally honest with God? Or have you not given yourself permission to do so yet? This man is in the advanced stages of leprosy. He can care less about what you think about him. And he says, Lord, can you heal me and cleanse me? if you're willing. Now, the if you're willing is a very powerful phrase, because what the man is saying is, Lord, if you don't heal me, I understand, because you don't have to. That's the attitude that he has. You don't have to do this. But if you are willing, can you do it? When we come to God, do we ask God, Lord, I know you don't have to do it. Whatever you decide, I have to be good with it. But if you're willing, Lord, can you do this explicit, detailed thing I'm asking for? Right? There's no guarantee God's going to heal our loved ones. There's no guarantee on that. But we still go to him. And we still make the prayer of the leper by saying, Lord, if you're willing, can you restore this person? Can you heal their brain? Can you heal their cancer? Can you do it if you're willing? Because I understand that I have no power whatsoever over this situation. And I have no say-so over this situation. I have no authority over this situation. So being I have nothing, let me go to the one who has all authority. Let me go to the one who has all power. Let me go to the one who has all say-so in this situation. And let me present my case to him. Are you with me? Third point. When the man was brutally honest about his condition, Jesus chose to meet the man's specific need. Now notice what I said. The man did not break Jesus' arm to answer his prayer. You cannot, newsflash, you cannot make God answer your prayer. Let me say that again. No matter how much hooping, hollering, screaming, spitting, leaping across the pews, jumping through the church window because you were full of the spirit. I don't know what spirit, but you're full of something. Flipping off the lights, foaming at the mouth that you do. You cannot make God move any faster than he decides to move. I've tried it. I didn't jump through no windows. It doesn't matter how many tears you cry. Yes, he counts all tears. He says that in Revelations. He wipes our tears away. Amen? He knows the hair on our head. Yes, he knows all things. But please don't misconstrue that and feel that because you cried a river of tears, that God's going to move any faster. He's not. But in this particular case, Jesus chose to meet the man's specific need. He chose to meet his specific need. I believe we leave a lot of blessings on the table because we don't pray specific. We pray these blanket prayers, Lord, just let your will be done. Knowing in your heart you're praying for this specific thing, but you refuse to say it because something in you doesn't give you permission to be specific in your prayer. It could be your upbringing. It could be some powerful saint back in the day misquoted a scripture and put so much guilt on you for, y'all know I'm telling the truth. I grew up in the church. Been in church all my life. I know what I'm talking about. And God is saying, don't be shy. What is it that you're asking for? I'm a loving God. I didn't say I was going to give it to you the way you're asking for it, but that doesn't negate you asking. Amen? I just want to encourage you. Start asking God. But you got to say if you're willing. Because he has the final say-so, amen? Jesus chose to meet this man's specific need. Let's look at 13. Jesus reached out and touched him. Now, y'all remember the lady with the issue of blood? Jesus didn't reach out and touch her. She crawled and said, if I can only touch, she stretched out. If I can only touch the hem of his garment, that's the stitching, the thread. If I can only touch the thread on his robe, I know I'd be healed. It's no guarantee. It's no doubt in my mind. If I could just get close enough to him and touch the thread, I don't even have to touch his flesh. If I could just touch the coat that he has on, I know I'm good to go. And the Bible says when she touched him through faith, okay, it was a faith touch. When she touched him through faith, the Bible declares that Jesus stopped. And he said, who touched me? He didn't say who touched my clothes. Y'all didn't catch that. Y'all didn't catch that one. Let me throw it out again. All the lady could do was touch the hem of his garment. She could not touch his leg. She couldn't touch his arm. She couldn't touch his hand. She could only touch the cloak of what he had on. But the way Jesus responded didn't match what she said. She said, if I can touch his clothing, he said, who touched me? Big difference. That's what faith does. See, faith is so powerful is that you don't have to be in the vicinity of God to touch God. It is by faith. The just shall live by faith. Is anybody with me? Jesus did something that you shouldn't do. He did something that you don't do. When somebody has leprosy, specifically an advanced stage of it, you don't put your hands on their skin because you yourself could be infected by it. But Jesus became, he became sin so we might live. He's without sin, but he became sin, a sinless man. See, Luke describes Jesus as the Son of Man. John describes Jesus as the Son of God. This is the God-man, the compassion that Jesus had as a man. Say, I'm going to touch something nobody else wants to touch. I'm going to reach down to the filth. I'm going to reach down to the muck and miry clay. I'm going to reach down to the most putrid, the most rancid individual that everybody has written off, and I'm going to grab and touch them. The Bible says Jesus reached out. Oh, y'all not catching this. It didn't say Jesus bumped into him, because that could be accidental. But when you reach out, that's not accidental. That's purposeful. When Jesus comes after you, he reaches for you. He don't bump into you. He don't just walk by you. No, he's coming to seek and to save those who are lost. He's trying to grab you, but what is he trying to grab you from? He's trying to grab you from the jaws of hell. Don't you know you have two individuals coming after you? You have God chasing you down, but you have the devil chasing you down. The question is, who do you want to reach you first? Because if God reaches you first, the devil can't hold you. But if the devil reaches you first, it's too late. Amen? He says, he reached out and touched him. Look at the words of Christ. What did he say? I am willing. Now, y'all see that, right? Take willing off, what do you have left? Come on now, say it louder. Who is the I am? So if I take I am, if I am means God, and I take I am out and replace it with God, what does that say? God willing. God is willing that no one should perish. Isn't that what the word say? He doesn't want anybody to perish, but all to come to what? Repentance, right? I am willing, he said, be healed. He spoke it. He touched him, but he spoke over him. He said, I'm willing. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. I'm right here. I'm willing. Be healed. Remember when he was on the ship with the disciples? And the sea was going crazy and the boat was dumping gallons of water in the boat and he was asleep on the boat? Y'all remember that? And the disciples were losing it. Hey, man, wake him up. Wake him up. They wake him up out of his sleep. He goes to the bow of the ship and he says, be quiet. Or peace be still. But peace be still is interpreted, be quiet. See, God doesn't have to use a lot of words to make stuff move or to make stuff stop. See, do you need something to move in your life? God can do it. Do you need something to stop in your life? God can do it. But he has to be willing. Amen? Let's keep going. He says, be healed. What does the word say? And what? And what? Instantly, the leprosy slowly went away. It disappeared. See, everything obeys Christ. Let me say that again. Because I don't know who's in here. I know I need this encouragement. I don't know who in here needs this type of encouragement. But everything obeys Christ. Don't believe the lie that Jesus is still on the cross and he's helpless and weak. No, he's been off that cross a long time ago. Matter of fact, he sits on the right hand of the Father and he intercedes for us. He is the great high priest. We don't need an earthly priest because he is the perpetuation. He's the great mediator between God and man. He understands man and he understands God because he's both. He can be touched by your infirmities. He can be touched by your weaknesses. He can be touched. He's been touched by all points. He can be touched by whatever you're going through. He can be touched by it because he's 100% man without sin. He became sin, but he was without sin. But he can be touched by what sin has done to mankind, yet he's God. He understands the God because he's the very nature of God. So not only does he understand your pain, he knows how to deal with your pain. Look at this. He says, be healed. And the leprosy disappeared. Do you know what this tells me? That all he has to do is say a word. All Jesus has to do in your life is speak over your life. And whatever it is that's beating you down, whatever it is that's in this advanced stages, it will disappear. Vamoose, gone. Are you with me? Isn't this encouraging? But you know what I like about this? This didn't happen until the man got to his darkest hour. See, a lot of us lose faith, me included. We lose faith because we say, if I caught it in the first stage, right? If we catch it in the first stage, we can make it work. But now it's in the last stage, and there's nothing we can do. Right? But that's when Jesus loves to show up. Jesus is a fourth quarter God. He don't show up in halftime. He loves when you're down by 30 in the fourth quarter. There's only 2 minutes left. You said that's impossible. That's what he majors in. He majors in the impossible. He's a fourth quarter God. It says leprosy disappeared. Fourth point. Jesus, do y'all have the first three points? What's the first point? Second point. Third point. Now this is going to mess with your head a little bit. This is the fourth point. Jesus told the man to keep his source of his healing or blessing confidential. He told the man, keep the source of his healing confidential. Now, let's look at verse 14. Y'all have it? Then Jesus did what? Instructed him not to tell anyone what had happened. Y'all see that, right? So y'all know I'm not making this up. He said, go to the priests and let him examine you. Take along the offering required by the law of who? For those who have been healed of what? Of leprosy. So you know what Jesus is telling this particular man in this specific situation? He said, look, when I do something for you, I don't want you to get up in front of everybody on everything I do for you. Listen to this. He said, sometimes there are some testimonies you keep between you and God. Yes, there's a time when you need to come in front of the church and give your testimony. I'm not negating that. I'm not shooting that down. Y'all heard me say that, right? But there are some times, there are some personal miracles in your personal private life that God says, keep it quiet. But when people see you, just give me praise. When they see your change, when they see what happened in your life, give me the glory. But you don't need to stand up here and tell everybody all your business. He said, be quiet. I did this for you. Now don't tell nobody I did this. But then he says this last part. He says, go show yourself to the priest. Now that sounds contradictory, right? He just told me don't tell anybody. But then he told me go tell the priest. Well, it wasn't that he needed to tell the priest that God didn't heal him, but Jesus didn't want his reputation out that soon. Are you with me? So when he would go to the priest would automatically see the condition of his skin and know that he was healed by God. That's all Jesus wanted the priest to know at that time, was that God did indeed heal this man of this treacherous skin disease. What would y'all think the man did? It's hard to keep good news to yourself, isn't it? You know, if you've been going through always at the bottom for so long, and then a breakthrough happens in your life, it's hard to keep that quiet. Amen? I think I probably would did the same thing the man did. But let's go. It says, let me keep reading 14. He says, take along the offering required by the law of Moses. We know that Jesus came to fulfill the law, right? So he's fulfilling the law here. For those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public what? That you have been cleansed. Now here it is again. He uses two words. He uses heal, then he uses cleansed. Okay? So he's saying, look, you don't have to go and brag and put my name out there yet. Just show yourself, and just by what you're showing is going to automatically let us know what happened. You know, I'm training my kids, don't just listen to what people say. Watch their behavior. Are you with me? Because how a person behaves is who they really are. Are y'all walking with me? A person can tell you all day, hey, I'm not this way, whatever that way may be. I'm not this way, but look at their actions. Look at the people they keep company with. Well, if you're against this, that, or the other, why do you keep attaching yourself so closely to these type of people that openly do X, Y, and Z? Are you with me? Because that's how you are as well. You're just camouflaging it. All right? Jesus is saying, just don't be a talker about how good God is. Show people how good God is. All right? Show people how good God is. Don't say you love me. Show me you love me. All right? Don't say you love school, but you're dropping out next week. Because your actions will always trump what you say. Are you with me? That's a sermon by itself. He says, this will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. And the last point, Jesus' name spread even though the man disobeyed his instructions. Let me say this again. The name of Jesus spread even though the man disobeyed his instruction. Let me tell us something. God will get his glory. He will get his glory whether you do everything he tells you to do or whether you don't. God's word will never return back to him void. It will accomplish what it is set out to accomplish. Okay? What did he say? He said, if man doesn't cry out, the rocks will cry out. God's going to get his glory. Okay? Look at verse 15. He says, but despite Jesus' instruction, the report of his power spread even faster. And vast what? Crowds came to hear him preach and to be what? For their diseases. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. You see, Jesus didn't want this man broadcasting that he was healed because Jesus knows how we folks are. You know, I work in a school where in some cases it's hard to get parents to come out. Are you with me? It's hard to get parents to come out for a parent conference. It's hard to get parents to come out to support their children. And one way to get parents out is say you're going to have food. That's all you have to say. We're going to have Chick-fil-A for parent night. You won't be able to get a car in that parking lot. You know why? Because that's a free meal for the family. You see the parent has five kids. I say, well, I thought you only had one in high school. Oh, yeah, these are his siblings. Y'all going to get you all a plate. And what y'all need to talk about? Y'all know I'm telling, if you worked in the school, you know I'm telling the truth. Right? Food has a powerful magnetism, right? All you got to do is say we got some feeding after church. We have a good feeding and that's it. The church be packed out. That's a free meal, free breakfast. Got multiple children. Everybody can eat good. Everybody going home and But that's how healing is. Healing is like food. If you just come into God to get healed, then your motive may not be pure. God wants you to come to him because you love him. He wants you to come to him because he's God all by himself, not just to get healed. And this is why he told the man with leprosy, don't tell him I did that. Just go glorify God. You got a second chance on life now. Just go and give God the glory. And that's all I need. He started telling everybody, look, this guy healed me of leprosy. You got something wrong with you, Joe. You know you've been having something wrong with you for a long time. You need to, Joe, the first Bible study they had, you need to be first one. You need to open up the church, Joe. Stop drinking at night. You know. That's what we do, right? People are attracted to the prosperity of God. All I got to say is you come to church and you'll be prosperous. You'll be blessed. Church will pack out. But is that the real reason to come to God? For prosperity? Or do you come to God because you know who he is? I come to God. We should come to God because we know who he is. He's almighty, right? All those other things are byproducts if he's willing to give us those things. But that shouldn't be our modus operandi. That should not be our MO of coming to the Lord just so he can give us something. Amen? A lot of times when God gives us an overflow, it's to help someone else out. Trust me. You know, some of us have extra clothes in our closets that are in pristine condition, still have tags coming off of them, and we won't give them up. You're not going to get back into it. Why y'all laughing? You wore it in high school. You're 60 now. Well, no, I ain't going to go back that far. I'm going to be out. But you understand what I'm saying. Some of us hold on to things that God is saying, look, hey, You are sitting on something that can bless somebody. If you got some shirts, some dress shirts you can't wear anymore, there's a young man who needs to go on a job interview. He doesn't have money to buy a brand new shirt, but you got brand new shirts or lightly used shirts that are hanging on your racks, and the moths are going to be coming to eat holes through them, and they're no good for anybody. But I gave this overflow to you so you could just be an overflow to someone else. If you have 7 cars, and cars got grass growing up under them because you rarely drive it, won't you bless somebody with a car that needs it? Not somebody that's going to be trifling with it, but somebody that really needs it. Someone with a family that's going to change the oil and not let the engine burn up. Right? Because we have to be, this is the crazy thing. We even have to be careful who we bless. Right? Because I can be in the right position, but give it to the wrong person. That's like putting a gold ring on a pig snout. Putting a fur coat on a dog. That dog is still going to be a dog, whether he has a chinchilla fur or has nothing on his skin. Are you with me? So we even have to be careful. But be careful who you bless. Because they may take it and make a mockery out of it or run it into the ground and not show respect for what you bless them with. I hope I helped somebody there. But there are people who are thirsty and hungry for a blessing, and they're never going to get it from the store. You are their store. Y'all caught that. You are their clothing store, but you don't want to let it go. I don't want to let it go. Do you actually believe that Jesus didn't know that man was still going to tell the whole world about him? He already knew it. Jesus is not foolish. He knows. He's God. He knew exactly what that man was going to do. I believe that's why he healed him. Because that man was going to be a verbal testimony to spread the word of Christ around the area he was in. When Jesus meets us in our darkest hour, will you become brutally honest when you pray to God in your private, personal time? Will you let him know what your condition is? Will you ask God if he's willing, can he move into your life? And will you obey his commands? That's my time. Let us pray.